Good afternoon.
Blog Talk Radio.
To Face Your Fears, Blog Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this great opportunity you have given us to reach out and help someone that's in need of help. We honor you on today, and we bless your holy name. And we pray that everyone that's tuned in will be blessed. Today, our episode is violence victims living in a domestic violence environment. Yes, victims living in a domestic violence environment. My guest today is NAACP Jefferson Parish President Gayla Spiller and NAACP St. Bernard Parish President Reverend Kevin Gabriel, who is also the NAACP of Louisiana State District A Vice President. Good evening, President Spiller and President Gable.
Good evening.
Can you share with us a little bit about yourself? But before you do that, let me introduce myself to the listeners. I am Evangelist Norma Chapman. I was born in Crystal Springs, Mississippi. I now live in New Orleans, Louisiana. I am the author of the book, What Faith Can Do. Yes, What Faith Can Do. Knowing that faith can do everything that we need if we have faith in God. I'm also the mother of two daughters, and I have four grandchildren. I am so excited on today that God has blessed me to do something that I've always wanted to do, that's reach out and help somebody that has been or is still in the domestic violence environment. I am a domestic violence survivor. I thank God that he let me live in the year of 1990 on March the 30th, in which I was shot twice in my liver and I was stabbed an inch from my heart. I lied in a coma for 40 days, had 6 day blood transfusions and 7 surgeries. I give God the glory and honor on today that I can share my story with someone out there. Also, I thank God that I'm blessed to be here to testify of the goodness of God. Now I would yield and let you hear from my guests, President Spiller and President Gable. Hello, President Spiller.
Good evening to all you listeners out there. All glory to the Most High, Honorable God. And I thank each and every one of you that is listening today because we bring some very important information. Let me tell you just a little bit about me. My name is Gayla A. Spiller. I was born and raised in New Orleans, Louisiana. I am called a Trini girl. I started out going to Morton Ayres Academy. For most of you listeners out there who knows about Morton Ayres Academy, once you attend that school and start public school, you bypasses kindergarten and go straight to first grade. So that should tell you something there. Also, I have two kids that I legally adopted, and they both were honor students, and my daughter graduated, and my son, this is his last year, and he works part-time, and he's also a football player. More importantly, I am Madam President of the NAACP of Jefferson Parish, both the West Bank and the East Bank. I've served in the Louisiana Army National Guard Reserve and the United States Army for almost 20 years, and I was the first female, woman, period, and of color to enlist in the Louisiana Army National Guard Reserve at Jackson Barracks there in New Orleans, Louisiana. I strongly believe that all forms of discrimination and domestic violence must be eliminated and is a strong advocate for the well-being and safety of our people in their respective communities. I yield to our District A Vice President, Reverend Kevin Gabriel.
Good evening to all you listening. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I come today to let you know I'm from Belchess, Louisiana, moving Stumpenoff Parish. I have 11 children, 19 grandchildren. I graduated from Belchess High School, went to Delgado. I'm a certified nurse assistant. I'm associate minister at First Baptist Church. I'm assistant pastor at Closer Walk Meet the Need Ministry. My main goal is to be a servant of the Most Mighty God, because he bring us so far. I come today to listen at Sister Norma, her story, where she came from. And I just want to let you know, as what God can do, he can bring us through everything. I have four sisters, three brothers, and I come from a big family. But I'm NAACP president of Central North Parish Branch, and I'm state vice president of Louisiana, District 8 vice president. But my most goal is to be a servant for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity.
I truly thank my guests for tuning in on today with me. Now, can I share with us how domestic violence has affected our community, and how many victims have lost their lives in our city? And I will let President Spiller answer the question. Can she share with us how many domestic violence victims have lost their lives just this year in Jefferson Parish? And then after you answer, I will let President Gable answer the same question.
With respect, I don't know the actual count, but I do know of two, at least, the most recent horrible domestic violence case in Tarrytown, Louisiana, which I know that the whole world knows. And this is something that really concerns a lot of us that really need a strong handle on it. I do have some suggestions along with what has been revealed in the case of law study of what is going on now with the judges, some business owners, and some constituents. I do have a Miss Claudia Fatima who has been subjected to domestic violence. She's on the line, or should be calling in, as well as Miss Patricia Jackson, who can speak more towards her having a shelter for female and male who is being subjected even today here in Jefferson Parish. I yield to Rev.
Yes, I come today from Stumpy Nord, and we have a couple of domestic violence have been murdered in the line of domestic violence. But the main thing we have to do is we have to look around our community, do community meetings to find out. Only way you're going to be able to help them if they come to you. A lot of people are afraid to come out. And I hope people will stop being afraid to come out. I know we have one in Stumpenoff Parish where a young man asked a woman in the head and killed her. But she's been to the court system. He dropped the charges. He had, different kind of charges on him. But the main thing we have to do as leaders, is to go out into the community to find out what's going on in our community. Most of the things they don't put in the paper where we can find out where the domestic violence. Our NAACP is civil rights, but what we're doing today is to know we're staying with you through everything, not only civil rights, to domestic violence. If you need us, call us. Miss Sister, I turn it back to the host.
Okay, as we know, domestic violence has become one of our biggest killers. So many women and men all over the world, their lives have been taken by the hands of their loved ones. Let me share some facts about domestic violence. Most domestic violence indicators are never, incidents are never reported. One in four women will experience domestic violence during her lifetime. The same number, one in four, and individuals also experience domestic violence. Women ages 20 to 24 are at the greatest risk of becoming victims of domestic violence. And I ask that question, why ages 20 to 24? Can one of you, President Spiller or President Gable, have any idea why they, why the National Bureau of Domestic Violence ages 20 and 24 are more vulnerable to becoming victims of domestic violence?
Well, this is Madam President Spiller. I think, just based on some of the research that I've done, is that most at the age between 20 and 24 oftentimes start behind the closed doors of their home. When a single mother or a single father is trying their best to raise their kids without both parents in the home, and they wind up getting involved in a relationship that is not the father or the mother of that kid, and whatever problem that individual has, it is displayed in front of those kids. And sometimes it's not always just another stepfather or stepmother. Sometimes it comes from the real parent. It's all in how sometimes a kid is brought up in a home. And it doesn't affect them until they get out there in the world and they start to dealing with life on their own. That's just my observation of something.
Thank you. Now, what advice can we share with the listeners on today who are living in domestic violence environments? What advice can we share with them? I mean, what can you tell them if they are disturbed or afraid to cry out for help and do not know where to go or who to talk to? We find a lot of the victims, the number one problem is they, it's very difficult for a victim to escape the abusers. And one thing that I've learned through all of my experience with domestic violence and teaching around the world and also doing domestic violence classes, I've learned that it takes seven times for a victim to leave their abusers. And I ask myself, why seven times? I can imagine that leaving, going back, being abused again, leaving again, or having them arrested and then dropping charges, which I'm so happy today that the victims cannot go and drop any charges because now the law enforcement, the state picks up the charges, which is one good factor in this whole conversation. Now, the victim, if it takes them seven times to being abused, seriously hurt, and they keep returning to the abusers, what can we share with the listeners on today? What advice can we give them to not to go through this torment seven times? As a matter of fact, when you get hit one time, slapped one time, cursed out, or even belittled one time, I think that's a sign that you should leave and not look back. Can I get one of you to answer that question for me?
Yes.
One of the things I like. Go ahead.
Okay, Michaela, I'm gonna wake up you.
One of the things that I would say, number one, Evangelist Chapman, you put out there, facing your fear. One of the things that I would advise an individual that's going through that situation, always remember, God did not give us the spirit of fear, number one. And that's something that you must face. And I understand without prayers, you can never, ever go forward. So I would strongly suggest that you keep God in the forefront. Keep praying, because he is our provider. He's our protector. All you listeners out there, know him for yourself. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, but one of the strongest advice I would give you is prayer. Prayer changes things. There is power in prayer. Also, seek help. Seek help. Help is out there. And never, the first time, even in a verbal abuse situation, that's a sign. Pay attention to that sign. And don't get caught up in it. Pray on it. The first time you see, pray on it. Lord, remove me out of this situation. This is not where I want to be. And keep your faith and watch the change, because he will deliver you. I yield to Rel.
Okay, my
advice to anyone in that situation, remember, you are a queen. God made you a queen. And you are no one on not being in that situation where a man is beating on them verbally, criticizing them. Don't take seven times. Seven is completion, but it don't mean for somebody to beat on you seven times. If someone is beating on you one time, get out, because a man that beat on a woman is not a man. That's a boy. She said between 20 and 24, most time, those men are the older men that control young women. They take those young women's mind. Then after they control them, some young ladies think it's love. You know, some of them think it's love, that the man loves them. Some of them accept it as love. You know, I experienced, like, my second daughter go through the same thing. You know, the same thing. And I tell her all the time, I didn't beat you. So you don't allow no man to beat you. So my advice to anyone, if you're in an abusive relationship and you think that's love, love don't have nothing to do with that. Seek Jesus. He'll bring you out of it. Seven times, no. One time, get out of it. Yield to the host.
Yes, also there's many ways that domestic violence can occur in one's life. It's just not physical abuse. There's also emotional and psychological abuse, such as sexual abuse or financial abuse, using money and finance to control the victim. Also, a form of abuse is when you're married to someone. And then let me yield and say this for a minute. It's not just women that's being abused. We also have a lot of men that's being abused by women. And I find out through talking to different individuals that there's many, many boys girls that's more aggressive than boys. We find it in the high schools and our universities around the world. I had an opportunity to speak at a job corps there in Crystal Springs, Mississippi, where I learned that also there is more aggressiveness in girls threatening boys and physically abusing them than the boys abusing the girls. That's happening also in our homes with a married couple. You have wives just as abusive as the husbands, or husbands are being abusive to their wives. Now, we have to look at the whole outline here. The whole picture is that it is control. Domestic violence is someone who wants to control your life, someone who wants to take advantage of the fact that they can tell you to do this, do that, and you will do it. And the reason why is what? Out of fear. And this is why the Lord gave me the topic, facing your fears. We have to learn how to face our fears. Once we face our fears, then we can overcome that's in our way. Also, in relation to domestic violence, it's sad that many survivors suffer from abuse for decades. That's many, many years, many, many years of abuse. And they're afraid to cry out. And this is why I'm on the radio today, and I want to cry out for them. I want to express how they feel on the inside of them, that they don't have the courage to come out and say and speak on their own, on their behalf for themselves. And also, we find that the abuser makes the victim feel it's their fault why they are being abused. You made me do it. If you hadn't done this or that, then this wouldn't have happened. That's not true. That's not true. The first thing that you have to realize is you are in control of your own life. You have the right to say this and that about your life. You have a right to give opinions. You have a right to act just like your husband or your wife wants to watch a television show or go to the movies or go by their parents' house or just enjoy the family. You have that right as well, okay? The next question I would like to ask my guest today is how can we, as people who is concerned about this deadly crime, help stop the sickness and help heal those who are in this situation? President Spiller, can you answer that question for me, please?
Can you be so kind to repeat that question? It sounds like it's a two question.
Pardon me?
Can you repeat your question?
Yes, I said, how can we as people who is concerned about this deadly crime, domestic violence, how can we stop the sickness and help heal those who are in this situation?
Well, one of the things that, you know, we can do as leaders and as president of the NAACP is that I noticed that there has been a Senate bill passed by the Senator J.P. Morrell, a Democrat in New Orleans, started by adhering to what the judges and the sheriff, what has been set out as the new law. Take proactive steps to disarm the abuser. As a leader, these are some of the things that I'll be looking at to encourage the victim, male or female, to take those protective steps to make sure that these abusers are disarmed. Make certain that the judge, not a law, educate yourself on this new law that applies to domestic violence, because there are laws in place, most recent as of last year. And some of those things has to do with what I'm talking about. Protect, proactive steps, disarm the abuser. The judges must suspend concealed carry permits and order the transfer of all firearms to a sheriff within 48 hours of issuing a protective order. You must go on and require the defendant to disclose the number and location of all firearms. There are these things are educational. Educate those victims, because oftentimes those victims is not aware of what the law or what the new law changes have come about. And make sure that they are educated enough to follow that and apply themselves to that. Because if you don't disarm the abusers, and if you don't make sure that the sheriff is doing their job by disarming them within a certain time frame and issuing a protective order, it's just like you're going in circles. But the bottom line, and my strongest advice, is to educate yourself on the new laws that deals with domestic violence.
Number one, number one reason, and also the reason why they do not put protective orders on the abusers is because once they go to court they decide to go back into the same environment. And a lot of victims do not have, they feel they don't have anywhere to go. And then there are shelters, domestic violence shelters. And there's also a hotline program that I can encourage you to call. And there is hope for victims today. They are not alone. There are thousands of local shelters around the United States that provide safety counseling, legal help, and other resources for victims and their children. So if you just get the courage to seek help, there is help out there for you. And as President Spiller just said, the restraining order, you may feel that, well, I can't afford to go to court and get a restraining order. There is ways that you can, I don't know about in yours, but here in Louisiana, they have a program that you can go down to the court and then you can file a claim or file a petition against your abuser, and then you can fill out the form that calls where you wouldn't have to pay the cost of court. And if you have such programs there in the area where you live, I strongly encourage you to go and seek ask the court clerk, what can you do in your area to file a claim if you can't afford the cost of court to file the petition against your abuser. In most cases, it is not dangerous to call 911. You're not in danger. Just call 911, and hopefully the policeman in your area can come out in time enough. A lot of times they do not act quickly on domestic violence calls. I can remember back a couple of years ago where we lost one of our officers. They went out on a domestic violence call and they wound up getting killed. So there's a lot of things and a lot of factors in getting help and a lot of things we should know in obtaining information on domestic violence and how you can go about helping a victim. Because you have to be very careful when you talk on this subject, domestic violence. It's a scary subject for victims to talk on, and it's also a scary subject for me to talk on. But I have to cry out, and I have to encourage the victims that's out there. There are warning signs. I didn't have any warning signs. What happened to me happened on the attacked at the time that I was. But there are warning signs out there, and I ask that each of you take the time to learn who you are living with, who you're married to, and in the near future, if you meet someone, get to know that person. Pay attention to things that comes out of their mouth, their actions. Action speaks louder than words. Because someone say they love you, then turn around and slap you or curse you, call you out your name, that is not love. That's not love. Okay? Also, President Kevin Gable, in your community, in the area where you live, in the parish of St. Bernard, what can you encourage the community to do as a whole to come together to help the abusers in your area?
To come together, must pray with them, find out who they are. And our shelter down here, when the young ladies go there, they always tell a young lady, it's not full. I got a lot of complaints when our young lady go there for help. They don't receive them because of the color of their skin. You know, and that's one thing we have where I hope our churches will come together and trying to reach out in their churches to have you to come down and do a seminar on battered women. You know, that's what we need. People would know someone have to come tell them what to do, because most of the young ladies down here, I see that in that situation, it's because they think the young man love them. That's number one. And they really think they love them by beating them. I talked to a bunch of them down here, and I always tell them, if that's love, you don't know what love is. My thing is, my hope is that we come together as born-again believers, as Christians, to come together to help these young ladies. First thing we have to start as the church, to bring it to the church. Because we don't talk about this in the church. Two things we don't talk about in the church, abuse and HIV. That's the two things we don't talk about. But the abuse, we need to talk in the church, because you got a lot of people in the churches being abused by men. Well, I hope each church will get you down here, do a seminar to help somebody. But in the last 20 years that I've been in Seminole Parish, we don't have at least African American black women, at least nine of them that got killed. Nine of them in 20 years since I've been over here. And it wasn't no shooting. One was burnt. One was tied up with duct tape. Different dangerous things have been done. The only thing we can do us is that as the church come together and trying to get someone out here to tell these people about the abuses, what is abuse. Because some women don't know what to do and don't know where to go. Because when they go to the battered women's shelter, they get turned around. I'll give you back to your host.
Okay, we have a lot of listeners out there today. And I'm going to open up the lines right now and let some of them ask some questions to us, and then we'll return back to our conversation. Hopefully, we'll be able to get everyone in to voice their opinion on this subject. Good afternoon, listeners. How are you today? Is anyone there? Let's go to the next caller. Hello, is anyone there? Hello, listener, are you there? We'll go to the next one and see if someone there. Okay. All right. Hello, is anyone there? Hello, listener, you're on the line? Hello, listeners. You are on the line. Okay, well, I guess we have listeners out there. Maybe no one wants to say anything at this time. So we'll continue our conversation on domestic violence, and maybe they just stepped away from the phone and they'll be back shortly. What are the results available for our victims? President Spiller and President Gable have given many results and resolutions to some of the problems as far as you're not having anywhere to go and who you can call or talk to in reference to your domestic violence situation. We also talked about why do victims sometimes return or they stay with their abusers. A better question is, why does the abuser choose to abuse? Why do they choose to abuse their loved one? Can you answer that for me, or you have any insight on that, President Spiller or President Gable?
Yes. My main thing is, and when a man abuses a woman like that and don't know, they're afraid. Something happened in their life that they're afraid, and they take it out on that young lady. And most times the men I see that when they beat on a woman, they either done been in a bad home with parents or a bad relationship before that. And my main thing is to that is, do he think, do he have system? Do he have a mother? Would you want somebody to beat on your mother? And maybe he didn't have that relationship with his mother and sister. And he may think it's good. But my main thing is he's not a man that beating on a woman. That's my main goal. Turn you back over to our host.
The black is back again, victims, and confronted with even the fact is against the victim who confronted with leaving or not. The abusers work very hard to keep victims in relationships. And they real fear of death or more abuse if they leave. They're afraid if they leave, the abusers will kill them. Or when they return back, they'll be abused more. In fact, a victim risk of getting killed greatly increase when they are in the process of leaving or just have to leave. They feel that they're in more greater danger, what I'm saying here. And
okay.
on average, three women, you know, I said, 50% of the women who have had courage to leave, some of the victims have lost their lives. But we can't stop there. We cannot be afraid to leave because we heard someone got killed or one of the victims, abusers, enabled them in some way, like an eye maybe was put out or they're in a wheelchair. We cannot be afraid of that. We still must keep on hoping and praying and doing everything in our power to come out of that abusive situation. Don't let anything hinder you, because what happened to them can very well happen to you. And the abuser is very hard to determine potential warning signs. It's very hard to see it in a person. You just can't look at someone you meet and say, well, he's an abuser or he's not an abuser. It's very hard to determine by looking at someone. Like I said in the very first beginning, we must be very careful and listen to the conversation we're having with our mates or our husband and our wives, especially if there's a threat. If someone threatens you, do not take it lightly, because we could bring it to pass. So we want to be careful and pay attention. And most of all, we want to pray and ask God to give us the courage to face our fears. If we can just face our fears, listen, if we can encourage the victims out there to just not be afraid to cry out. And once you've cried out and you have gotten help, do not look back. Continue to move forward. Continue to press forward. Continue to ask God to give you that strength that you can continue to walk and be able to become dependent instead of being independent on your abuser. You can do it. You can do it. You can get help. You can go back to school if you're not educated. You can cry out to the churches in your community and praying that they will help you. You can cry out to the law enforcement. You can cry out to shelters and the supporters that they have there to help you. You can cry out if you just call the hotline number, which I will provide to you before the end of this show. Again, I want to go back to some of the listeners out there and see if anyone have anything to say on today. This is my first day, and I'm hoping that I can get one of our listeners on the phone to share their input on domestic violence today. I see we had a lot of them had drop calls, and I'm hoping that we can get to some of them and see if we can get their opinion on it. Good evening. You're on the air. Good evening. You are on the air.
Good evening. My name is Ella Davis. Can you hear me?
How are you doing, Ms. Davis? Yes, Ms. Davis. How are you today?
I am well. How are all of you?
Doing good, doing great. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, I must say I have enjoyed everything that I have heard. The conversation has been very interesting. I don't have a question, but I would like to add that I think the, and you said domestic violence can be from a male or a female, and I think it's important that the person trust their instincts. If they see that their mate is trying to control them, you know, even at the beginning of the relationship, that would be a good time just to terminate the relationship and go on and try to meet someone else.
Yes, I strongly agree with you, Ms. Davis, and I'm also aware that you are an author of many books. Is there any books that you have written that can encourage victims of domestic violence?
I think the book, Be a Success, would be helpful because it is for young adults, and it provides suggestions for them at every phase of their life. Believe it or not, as adults, we are still developing. And the book provides suggestions for them to do activities at every phase of their adult life.
Well, thank you for calling in on today, Ms. Davis, and I look forward to speaking to you in the near future, and I pray that you would call in every week. We would have a different topic that we'll be speaking on in reference to domestic violence. And again, take care of yourself, and we'll be talking soon. Bless you. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. May I stay on the
line?
No,
I'm getting ready to disconnect you now, sweetheart. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Hello, listener. You're on the air. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Okay, let me go back to look like someone said something there. You're on the air.
Hello.
Would you like to share anything with the listeners on today?
Yes.
Go ahead, you're on the air. We're listening. Okay, maybe we'll go to our next listener. You're on the air. Hello? Fine, this is someone else is there. Hello, listener. You're on the air. Okay, I think we have a lot of drop calls here. We're going to try and find someone that would tune in with us. Hello, listener. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, this is Chelsea Richard Napoleon, the clerk of Civil District Court. How are you all doing?
How you doing?
Doing great.
Napoleon?
Doing great. I just wanted to add to the conversation, Ms. Chapman, you had mentioned the program which allows people to come in and complete protective orders at no cost. That program operates through the Louisiana Protective Order Registry, and they will be able to come to the clerk of Civil District Court's office to complete the necessary paperwork. However, when people come in to complete that paperwork, they do have to understand that it does not initiate a criminal or municipal case. It only initiates a case within civil district court.
Okay, thank you so very much for that information. And is there anything else you want to share with the listeners out there in reference to your insight on domestic violence here in our city, New Orleans? What would you share with our listeners on today?
I would like to share, if you are in a domestic violence situation, get out. There is no reason to stay. I can tell you that people come into the office in need of assistance, and sometimes they change their mind and they end up having to come back. So take care of yourself. And that's it.
Thank you so much, Ms. Napoleon. Again, I want to thank you for calling in. And do tune in with me on next week as we'll be talking further on the subject of domestic violence. Bless you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello, listener. You're on the air. Hello, listener. You're on the air. Hey, let's go down to the next one. We have so many callers. We have so many. Everyone that's listening in, if you don't have anything to say, I do want to thank you for calling in and just giving a listening ear. And I pray that some of the information that's been shared with you on today, that you can take it and share it with someone else. Let's see if we can find someone to share some information with us. Good evening. You're on the air. I think that's the same person I just spoke to. Okay. Ms. Spiller. Ms. Spiller, are you still there? Hello?
I'm here, Miss. I'm here, baby.
Okay, I was trying to find your caller that you was expecting to call in. And
yeah, she's telling me. That's why I couldn't get her. That's why I couldn't get back to you. Because she keeps texting me.
I don't recognize her number at this time, but if you can just share with me maybe the first three digits of her, not the error code, but just the first three digits of her phone number, maybe I can tune her in with her. While you're doing that, you can just text her to me, Ms. Villa, and I'll get
okay.
the text. While you are doing that, Reverend Gable.
Yes, ma'am.
As a man and as a husband and a father, what would you share with the men out there who are abusers? And they want to not be abusing their loved one, their wife, or their children. They want to come from under the devil's force of having them to abuse the victim. What can you share with them?
I share that any man that's beaten on any woman, please stop, because you're not made to be beaten on. That is your queen. Just think about your sister, your mother. If you love that person, you ought not be beating on them. I have 8 daughters. I have a wife. My dad always just told us, you never beat on a woman, because God is not pleased with you. Because when God made man, he made man in his own image. When God made a mate for a man, he took a rib out of man and put in a woman. So no man, I ask every man that listening or out here, please don't beat on no woman. No woman, because they're not made to be beaten on. They are beautiful queens. Let's treat them like queens. I cry out for any man that do that, that beat on a woman. Please, don't do it. I thank God for the court system, the way they got 90 Kim drop charges. Give them what they deserve, the time. So I beg for any man that do this to a woman. Let's stop now. Be a man. Stand up. Thank you. Ms. Norma? You there, Ms. Norma?
No, I'm here, Kevin.
Huh?
I said, I'm here. I don't know. He made an answer to call.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, listeners. I had a drop call, or someone had called in and had caused my phone to drop. I'm back on air now. Can you hear me, Gila and Reverend
Gates?
Can you hear me, Reverend Gates? Okay.
Yes,
let's
ma'am.
Continue our conversation. I'm getting a lot of drop calls as well, and I just want to say to all of my listeners out there, I thank you for calling in today. I'm so sorry for the inconvenience of having a drop call 2 minutes ago, but I want to share with the listeners out there today that I would like for you, and I pray that you would take the information that we're sharing on today and other information that I will be sharing in the upcoming episodes. And one thing that we need to keep in mind, that you are, the victims need to know that you are loved. You may not be loved inside of the homes where you live in, or maybe you may feel like you're not even loved by your loved ones, your siblings, or your immediate family. But know that you are loved. There are people around the world that cares for you, that wants to be this, that wants to ensure you that they can be of help to you if you only would cry out to them. And I also want to share with my listeners on today, in the community, in your community, encourage your neighbors, your churches, to have more community meetings on this deadly crime, domestic violence. If we will come together in the community and talk more, you never know who may attend your meeting that needs help, that's in need of help, that through coming to your meeting, they can come out of the environment that they are in. And also, I pray that you will find God. You will seek God first, because God is the only one that can help you. He can deliver like no other can. We can give you advice, we can pray for you, but you first must help yourself and want to find help for yourself. You want to find help not just for you, but if you have any children that's in the household where there is domestic violence. You want your children to not grow up being the same abuser as the one who's abusing you, nor being a victim of abuse. This is important that we learn as much as we can and be educated on this deadly crime, domestic violence, and teach it to our children, teach it to our loved ones and the family as a whole. Come together as a family and talk about domestic violence. Someone in your family may be suffering and going through the same situations that we are speaking of today. We want to encourage you, want to be an encouragement to them and let them know that you care. And then maybe they will cry out to you. Maybe you maybe you are the one that God is going to use to deliver them out of that situation. Also, President Gala and President Gable, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I would like at this time for the both of you, if you have any information in the area where you live, in the parish where you live, that you can share with someone in that parish, a phone number to call, or maybe how to get in touch with the NAACP to cry out for help, can you share that information with our listeners on today?
I will. Thank you. Madam President, Buller can be reached at area code 504-222-1213.
Reverend Gabriel, 504, anytime, day or night, if you need help, call me. Thank you, Sister Norma, for having me on your show.
And once again, indeed, it was an honor, or is an honor, to
participate. It is very important matter. Evangelist Chapman, thank you very much for allowing me to be on your talk show. And have a blessed evening.
Those of you who was not able to tune in on today because of maybe a drop call or because you didn't have anything to share with the listeners on today, I pray that you will join me again on next week, next Thursday at 4:30, where we will be having a total new episode. And I will be posting it as well as sending information. I'll email you or text you, or maybe you can go to my Facebook page, Norma Chapman, and you can get information from there. Also, you can share this broadcast with your friends who wasn't able to tune in on today just by going to www.blockradiotalkshow.com and pull up the episode that was for March the 21st, which was today. You can also visit my page, Facebook page, What Faith Can Do, and there will be information shared there as well. You can also contact me at norma_chapman@yahoo.com. And I pray that if you are in need of any help, that I can be there for you, and I'm sure that I will find some help that can help the victims if there are any listeners out there that are in a domestic violence environment. Again, I want to thank you all for listening in. And remember, tune in every Thursday, 4:30 to 5:30, where I will be hosting Facing Your Fears. God bless you, and do have a great day.